Hi, Cynthia Louise. This is Liz, and I had loaned somebody lesson 19, and they didn't return the tape. So I'm doing this in order to get this online for you. It's going to be very flat. I haven't been prayed up, but maybe you'll get something out of it. Anyway, God bless you, and we're praying for you. It was the Sabbath day, our Lord's last Sabbath on earth. The next Sabbath, we would find Jesus in the tomb. Jesus spent this Sabbath at Bethany in the home of his dear friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Lazarus had just been raised from the dead. Can you imagine the amount of joy that was in that household? Martha served, of course, but Mary we find at Jesus' feet. She was about to express her worship of Jesus by pouring a pound of spikenard over Jesus. It was of great value. It was a year's wage. It was very costly because it came from the Himalayas. It was a lavish gesture on her part. She didn't care what others thought. Worship gives its best. It spends. Worship is the overflow of a heart in love with Jesus. The whole house was filled. True worship fills the entire room. Jesus would need the spikenard here rather than for the grave because he would raise from the dead. Judas Iscariot, of course, voiced his opinion. All that money poured out in one wasteful act. All that good money for Jesus. What a waste. That's what he thought about Jesus. That spikenard should have been sold and given to the poor, he thought. John's Gospel says that Judas held the bag of money for the disciples, and he regularly dipped his hand in it and helped himself, for he was a thief. Now he saw a whole year's wage, what he could have done with it, but it was poured over Jesus. What a waste. Of course, this might give us pause to think of what do we do with our money? Well, it was given, it really and truly was given to the poor because Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sakes and my sake, he became poor. He had nothing when he died on that cross. Well, Mary had sat at Jesus' feet and learned and believed Jesus was going to die and yet he would raise from the dead. All you have to do is go back to chapter 11 of John and you'll see this very clearly. But we need to remember here, service will never be a substitute for sitting at his feet. So many of us today want to do for Jesus, and he wants us to be first rather than do. And Mary had saved, and with her life savings, purchased the costly spikenard for Jesus, and then broke it over Jesus. Jesus told Judas and the others, "Leave her alone. She has done this for my burial." Now, if you were there and had the opportunity to interview Lazarus, what would you have asked him? How did it feel to die? How did it feel to come out of the tomb? How did it feel to be unwrapped? Well, he probably would have said to you, "I died and then I was brought back to life after 4 days. I'm not the same old Lazarus you once knew. For now, the life that I live is the life Jesus gave to me." Is that true in your life? We didn't look at the Last Supper because all of us are in churches that participate in the Last Supper and the words that Jesus said. So I have skipped over it, but this is where it would have been. Then we look at the so-called triumphal entry. This fulfills Zechariah 9:9. This is the quotation. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." There are certain important omissions in this quotation of Matthew, which careful comparison will reveal. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion," is omitted. Why? Because our Lord is not coming into Jerusalem for that time of rejoicing. That will take place at his second coming. Also omitted is he is just and having salvation. The word salvation has the thought of victory, which will be filled at a second coming. The conclusion to be drawn from these portions that are missing is that his second coming, there'll be a true triumphal entry. Jesus apparently had made previous arrangements for the foal and ass, but it was unbroken is the real emphasis here. Jesus demonstrated he had authority over this animal. Can you imagine? Jesus came riding in to Jerusalem from Bethany. He was presenting himself to those who were responsible to teach the people, in other words, the religious leaders. He came on an animal of peace, not a war horse, not a conquering horse. But you see, that's what the multitudes really wanted. They wanted a king that would deliver them from Rome. These that were crying Hosanna here would soon be crying out, crucify him, crucify him. It is clear that the religious leaders missed their opportunity to accept Jesus as their Messiah. For when he came into the temple, it was business as usual. This, of course, was a fulfillment of Daniel 9:25, when Jesus was rejected here. Is the 69 weeks of Messiah would be cut off. That leaves us 1 week, and we know that that 1 week will be the Great Tribulation. But when he came in, they weren't ready to receive him. It was business as usual. My goodness, they made big bucks here in the temple buying and selling animals. And you can just hear all the bleating and the cooing and the neighing and all the rest of it. This would have been in the court of the Gentiles. There wouldn't have been room for anyone to come into worship if they wanted to. So Jesus cast them out. He said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Where does God dwell today? Well, we know he dwells by invitation in our hearts. Believers, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you known as a house of prayer? Do others seek you out with their prayer needs? Do you need cleansing? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. We need cleansing, don't we? You and I need cleansing and filling daily. And then we need to ask ourselves, are we robbing God of his rightful place in our lives? Well, the triumphal entry will come on his return. The first entry ended with a cross. Then I want to read to you Matthew 21:14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna in the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants? You have perfected praise. Then he left them and went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. It's interesting, there's another portion of scripture that says, if he told them to be silent, the stones would cry out. And that's important because when Jesus is crucified and dies, the very rocks are rend in two, demonstrating that when Jesus was made silent on the cross, the rocks did cry out. Then we want to look at Luke 19:41. Now as he drew near to the city, Jesus wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now these are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when the enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. So that's Jesus weeping over the city. He didn't take this rejection lightly. He grieved for the people because he knew what was ahead. For indeed, in A.D. 70, General Titus would come in and level Jerusalem, and many, many people would die at that time. Then we want to look at the fig tree in Matthew 21. 21:18. These are important to stay with Scripture here. 21:18 says, "Now in the evening he returned to the city. He was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it, found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow for you, on you forever again.' Immediately the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' And Jesus said, answered them, and surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to the mountains, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. Whatever things you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive." Jesus was hungry here. Jesus desired to eat the fruit of the fig tree one more time before he died, but could not. Fig trees do not bear their fruit in the spring during the Passover, but in the fall of the year. However, fig trees do have a small edible fruit that appears in the spring before the sprouting of the leaves. This fig tree was full of leaves, but had no fruit. It looked full of promise, but was empty, just like the city of Jerusalem and its beautiful temple. Immediately does not necessarily mean instantly. It may have the idea very soon. This miracle is the only recorded miracle of Jesus that involved judgment and illustrates God's judgment on the Israelites who professed adherence to God but produced no fruit or spiritual reality. The withering of the fig tree illustrates God's judgment on unbelieving Israel, but it also became a means for Jesus to teach his disciples. Their faith works miracles and is the basis for answered prayer. And of course, the point here is that those leaves represented religiosity, religion without substance. That can happen today for us. It's very easy to go to church but have no fruit in your life. Fruit comes from abiding in Christ, having a relationship with him. Do you have that? Or are you just a bunch of leaves? People think you're a Christian, but deep down you know that you have much to be desired. Well, here we need to go to John and pick up the verses there that are important. And it's in verse 23. Jesus answered them, "The Son of Man has come, that the Son of Man, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, produces much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." We have to remember in connection with the fig tree that faith must be put to work. Faith is an action word, just like love. We need to take another look at those religious rulers, because this is when they rejected Jesus here and he had to cleanse out the temple. They were actually setting themselves up to become very hard-hearted. God only gives so much light, and when it keeps being rejected in the face of miracles, in the face of truth, then he shuts off the light. And that's what John's gospel says in John 12:37. Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah again says, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I would heal them." So they had all of this truth, and they rejected and rejected it. So God takes a hard heart, and then he makes it harder. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. This is John 12:42. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Take note of that. Take note of that. That's a very serious warning. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in the darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that which I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Well, Jesus has spoken, and the question would be to you, has he spoken to you? Do you have a relationship with him? Now's the time to do it. Don't put it off. You could come back any day. Let's ask him. Father God, I thank you that you so loved us that you actually wept over Jerusalem because you saw their rejection would be such a time of horror for them. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone that needs to know you as a personal Savior, today would be the day that they would fall on their knees and ask you to forgive them of their sins, and then they would be washed and cleansed and filled with your Spirit, Lord, to know you and to live for you, that their lives would be hid in Christ. They would have a future and a hope. Lord, there's nothing here on this earth there's such a warning here of the Pharisees, rather wanting the praise of men rather than the praise of God. What a serious warning that is. And Lord, if there's anyone here that wants that more than the praise of God, may today be a turning day, a turning away from that and turning towards you. Oh God, one day we'll stand in your presence, and that will be, we long to hear the day, hear that on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, speak to hearts, and we'll simply give you all the praise. You are a wonderful God. We thank you for dying for us. Thank you for Mary's example. And we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.